Bible says that He inhabits the praises of His people. Besides the fact that we see that there's power. In the book of Acts, don't we want to go back to the book of Acts days? Miracles, signs, and wonders. But you see something from the people. They're all in one accord. What worship will do is it gets our minds off of us, off of our problems, and it gets us all into one accord. Why? Because our minds are now on Him. And that's what worship will do. And so it's important that, you know, when we, you know, here it is, it's a half an hour into service, but it's a worthy half an hour. To just tell Him we love Him and to let Him know that as a family, we want You, Father. Praise God. But also to get our minds off of us and onto Him. Hallelujah. One accord. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Mark 9:23. Can't get away from this verse. Mark 9:23. Father, help us this morning to say what needs to be said. Lord, be God here. You say and do as You please. Father, we'll just be willing, vessels, to do whatever You want us to do. Father, we know that the entrance of Your Word gives light, that if we would know the truth, it would set us free. So if we're in bondage in certain areas, it's just because we have not been set free, and the way we're set free is by knowing the truth. So we thank You for the truth here this morning. Thank You for Your help. Thank You for Your kindness. Thank You for utterance from heaven. Fill my mouth with it and also help me to speak boldly. I thank You will hit bullseyes in everybody's hearts here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 9:23, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Jesus said unto him, so He's talking to a person, if you can believe, or if you can have faith, you could say it that way. All things are possible to him that believes or to him that has faith. And I love that because there's a lot of different people here this morning that have a lot of different needs. Yours are different than mine, possibly. Mine are different than yours, possibly. Vice, you know, whatever. All of us have different things. But thanks be to God, it falls into the category of all things. Amen. And we know by being here long enough, and we've heard it over and over, how our life turns out has more to do with us than it does with God. Faith is the lifestyle of the Christian. Faith is the dominant force and thread that runs through the whole Bible. It's how we receive, overcome, please God, receive Jesus. Through all that comes by faith. Praise God. And I just can't seem to get away from this verse for us. We've been on it for a little while. But it's important that we see that if all things are possible, for the all things to come to pass, it's going to require our faith. Amen. Jesus didn't say all things are possible if your pastor can have the faith for you. If your spouse can have the faith for you. If the prayer chain can have faith for you. No, it falls into our lap. We have to be responsible with what we know in our own faith. Praise God. Now go with me to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. I think it's good news to hear that all things are possible. Because the devil will magnify your situation and tell you, maybe through other people, maybe through things you read on the internet or in the news, maybe through doctor's reports, maybe through financial reports, maybe through your own thought life, where the devil's casting thoughts into your head. He will tell you that your situation is not possible. Now you're stuck with that. It's your lot in life. But that verse destroys that thinking. Praise God. That's why I say the entrance of the Word gives light. The anointing of the Word will destroy that yoke. Praise God. That thought process. See, some of your problem here in this sanctuary right now is your thought process is not in line with what it should be. You're thinking wrong about things. You ought to think in line with God's Word, praise the Lord. God's word is how our life is and how our life will turn out, praise the Lord. It might not look like it at the time, but that's where the force of faith comes in to change it, praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I'll come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But I want you to see this, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, he goes, to another, come, and he comes, my servant do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to him that followed, to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, praise God, no, not even in Israel. So God calls through Jesus, calls this man, and forever records it for us eternally that this man was operating in great faith. But the thing about this man that you have to understand is found in verse 8. He says, speak the word only. Notice this person had an awareness or a recognition that the word was powerful. And it translated into being called somebody of great faith, and he got what he was believing God for this day. I had somebody this week I was talking with, and they said, Pastor Mike, I want to be a faith giant. And that's noble. We all should want to be a faith giant. Overcoming, being victorious, bringing not only light and help to our family, but those around us into the church. Praise God. And he said, I want to be a faith giant. And I said, well, I can get you there. I can point you in the right direction of how to do it, but you're going to have to do certain things to become that. Well, would you say that somebody that Jesus says has great faith would be a faith giant? I would. I would say that. And this person, the characteristic of this faith giant in the Bible was that he had a recognition about how important, how powerful, and how vital the Word of God was. See, you can't separate being a faith giant from being around the Word of God. You can't. Why? Because faith cometh, right, by hearing and hearing the Word. That's the only way faith will come into your life. It's by hearing the Word. You can't pray for faith. You can't beg for faith. The more Word you hear, the more faith that you'll have. Go to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Praise God. Hallelujah. In verse 1. If you'll say to me this morning that you want to be in that category where all things are possible, well, we know that's going to depend on your faith. And if you say that I want to be a faith giant, and a faith giant is no more than somebody that when trials and adversity comes, they go through that thing, they go over that thing, and they come out on the other side stronger than before. Amen. They're conquering people. They're victorious overcomers. If you say that I want to be that, then this has to be a characteristic or a mark of your life to say that I want to be a faith giant, what we're talking about today. He went out from there, Mark 6 and verse 1, came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. When the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogues, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? And what wisdom? Lord, is that you? Praise the Lord. From whence has, that's happened to me before, so no condemnation. From whence have we have these things, and what wisdom is that which is given on him that even such mighty works? I don't think God has Siri's voice. I was just thinking, I can't be God. I don't think that's God's voice. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, and of Judah? And Simon, and none of his sisters here with us, and they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work. Not that he didn't want to, he couldn't. Save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now that's good, but it's not as good as it could have been. Jesus went places and did mighty, mighty works. And the Bible says here he could not do any mighty works. And look at what he says in verse 6. And he marveled because of their They missed out because of their. They didn't get what God had for them because of their unbelief. Well, that goes along with all things are possible to him that believes. But then look at what Jesus goes on to do when he sees, okay, this is the problem. What did he do? And he went round about the villages teaching. Why? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word. So he went around and said, tried to do a work, marveled at their unbelief, was hindered from working in their life because of their unbelief. So what did he do? He said, I got to get belief in them. The only way I can get belief in them is to go around and teach them. Amen. It's amazing in the world, you see how many times Jesus would say, hear and be healed.
Yeah.
Yes. Hear and be healed.
Right.
Brother Hagin would say it this way. If I can get people to hear, I can get them healed every single time. Absolutely. But the problem is the hearing a lot of times. So here Jesus remedies unbelief with the Word of God. If you're going to be a faith giant, the Word is going to have to be a close companion in your life. You cannot separate faith giant and the Bible. They go hand in hand. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 4 in verse 4. Matthew 4 in verse 4. You can't separate them. You know, last week we talked about God's presence being with us at all times. I hope it changed your fellowship. I hope it changed your love walk. I hope it changed your honor. I hope it changed the way people you treat, your employer, kids, how you treat your parents, spouses, how you treat each other. If not, remember, he goes with you at all times.
Amen.
Right? Praise God. Well, this is kind of along those lines. He is the Word. Matthew 4 in verse 4 says this, but Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. But, you could say it this way, but he will live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, we have to understand that that word live is not talking about just having a pulse and a heartbeat. It can't be, because there are people on earth that will live a full, long life of 100, 110 years that have never had access to the Bible. So it's not just talking about man will live, breathe, and just have a heartbeat and a pulse. That word live is the word that's associated with the word live in life in John 10 and verse 10, which is that Zoe, abundant God kind of life. So Jesus is saying man cannot truly enjoy abundant life by bread alone, but he can truly enjoy abundant life, the God kind of life, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, being a faith giant is what's going to walk you into that abundant life. The God kind of heaven on earth life is attainable through faith. It's not going to happen just because you become a Christian. In fact, that might be when the devil turns the heat up, and the only thing that you are going to have to go against him is your faith. So faith is the avenue that gets you into that abundant life. And Jesus said, you will not enjoy life. You might live. You might breathe. But I don't want to just breathe. I don't want to just have a heartbeat. I don't want to just go through this life. I want to have abundant life.
Amen.
I want to have the God kind of. And again, that's why I so appreciated these meetings with Reverend Patsy Caminetti. Oh, they were so rich.
Amen.
The purpose of your abundant life is not for you to be greedy. It's not for you to be selfish. The reason God provided healing, prosperity, protection, and soundness of mind is so you can go forward and get the job done so we can usher in Jesus. Sick people do not do very much for God. I've been sick, I know. Mentally, people who have mental problems that are going through anguish, turmoil, depression, they don't do very much for God. I know, I was there. People that are broke and constantly struggling and worrying about their money, they don't do much to bring a supply to God. He's provided abundant life so we can go in this world, get the harvest won, and usher in His Son's return. That's why He did it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you won't experience that abundant life apart from this. You just won't. It can't happen. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. We talk about this stuff a lot. But you know, the more you hear it, the more you're going to do it.
Amen.
The more you're going to finally understand it. This is, he's trying to get us into something here. For the Word of God. Just so you know, the Bible is the Word of God. It's not just when God spoke things. This is His Word, His will, His desires, His character. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. Wow. There's such, it'll change the way you read this thing. Power in the Word of God. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So Jesus said that man will not live, truly live, by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, we know that faith is the avenue to our abundant life. So Jesus was saying in Matthew 4 and verse 4 that the Word of God is faith food.
Yeah.
That's what he was saying. The Word of God is what you feed on, not for your just your natural body that will affect your natural body, but for your faith food. Praise God. It's powerful. Without it, the abundant life's not possible.
Right.
Y'all remember Popeye the Sailor Man? Whatever he did, I don't even know what he did. I'm awful at impressions. I can impersonate a short, gray-headed guy real good, though. I got it down, Pat. You should see it. You'll see a short, gray-headed guy, and you'll say, that's just like my pastor. I can nail that impersonation. Praise the Lord. But Popeye needed his spinach, didn't he? Without his spinach, he's just an average sailor. But with his, the muscles started bulging, Brutus started running, and olive oil started getting hearts in her eyes. Oh, Popeye the Sailor Man. But he needed the spinach, didn't he? You will never be a faith giant without your supernatural Holy Ghost spinach, the Word of God. You cannot live without it. It's powerful. It's food to your faith. And without it, just like a natural body, just like a bodybuilder that's naturally training. You know, they don't just put all the time in the gym. There's a lot of time in exact science and stuff in the kitchen, in nutrition. Am I right? It's not just the time in the gym. It's the diet. It's the nutrition to get the bigger muscles, to get the stronger body. Yes, you can put the time in the gym, but to fully maximize, you're going to have to eat the right things. And Christians are going to have to be feeders of the Word of God.
Amen.
If you don't, you'll be wimpy.
Yeah.
You will be weak. You will be weakly, and you will be taken advantage of by the devil. He will run over you in this life. Absolutely. The same way Brutus would have took him down if it wasn't for that trusty old spinach. Praise God. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8.
Praise God.
I don't mean to do this, Cindy and Jim. I got to turn this air conditioning on or something because I'm about to just go out from under the power of God. The problem is with this thing, it gets to a place where it gets cool or whatever. It just doesn't, it's not doing what we need it to do right now. Praise the Lord. You don't want to see me fall out and it wasn't the power of God. Have a healing service for Pastor. Praise the Lord. Anyways, where are we going here? Where did I say Joshua 1 and verse 8? Joshua 1 and verse 8 says, this book of the law, what's it talking about? The Word?
Yes.
Shall not depart out of your mouth. Well, see, we know that the Word just on the page doesn't get it done. The Word's got to be in your mouth.
Amen.
Faith is released through your words.
Amen.
God created the world by speaking it in existence. But anyways, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. That sounds like kind of like what our diet's like.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I eat day and night. Don't look at me that way. You do too.
Yes.
You know it. Snacking all day. Right? But you shall meditate. You shall feed on it day and night. And you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, and not before then, shall you make your way prosperous, and even then you shall have good success. Stop praying to God and asking Him for prosperity. He's not the determining factor on whether or not you prosper. The Bible tells you in this verse how to prosper. Then you shall make your way prosperous. Guess who it depends on whether or not you walk into prosperity or not? What you do with the word. I've brought this out, but I'll do it again. And I'll do it again and again and again until people don't just get one little cold snack on a Sunday morning, an occasional pick-me-up during the week, but until they realize that they need to consistently make the Word of God a part of their diet consistently.
Amen.
You know that a bodybuilder building to get strong, and I mean some of the calories that they eat. I mean, and they're eating all the time. Why? To build up, to get stronger. And until people are doing that, until I get a release in my spirit, as a shepherd who's into making sure that you're okay and good, I'm going to keep telling you the same things over and over again. He said, notice what this verse says. This religion hates when I do this, but I'm going to do it. I don't see God mentioned in that verse. Prayer is good. God is good, but I don't see prayer mentioned in that verse. Now, prosperity and good success, we'd say we'd want that. But our religious minds have taught us, well, that's just going to depend on what God does for us. No, God's already done everything. Why does He need to do more for you? Jesus wasn't enough?
Hallelujah. Good word.
He's enough for me.
Yeah, amen.
This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Six times you're mentioned in accordance with prosperity and good success. Zero times is God mentioned. Zero times is prayer mentioned. Zero times is the prayer chain mentioned. If the Bible's so, then it's so.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Good.
The Word will remedy things in your life. Why? Because it'll build you up. You'll be a faith giant.
Amen.
Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, I want to show you something. Luke 4, talking about prosperity and good success. Oh, glory to God. Luke 4, and verse 18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now let's look at this. Excuse me, I'm going to look at it on the screen with you. We're going to start at the end. Jesus is here to set at liberty them that are bruised. That means He takes the bruised ones and sets them free, right?
Yeah.
Sets them at liberty. So would you agree with me in saying that the bruised become unbruised?
Sure.
Yeah. Well, then go back. It says the recovering of the sight to the blind. That is healing for sick people. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
That somebody being sick changed over into being well. Well, let's go on. Preach deliverance to the captives. He doesn't want people to be captive. He wants them to be delivered. There's the captives becoming delivered. To heal the brokenhearted. There is a change for the brokenhearted. These are all things He's mentioning. Captives, sickness, bruised, brokenhearted. Those are things God doesn't want for us in the abundant life. But He's saying there's change for all those things.
Amen.
But notice this. Preach the gospel to the poor. Now let me ask you a question. Every single one of those bad conditions that he mentioned, there was change for the better. So if you're brokenhearted, lift up your head, there's help. If you're a captive, lift up your head, there's help. If you're standing in a place of sickness, lift up your head, there's help. Right? If you're bruised, lift up your head, there's help. So do you think that he's going to leave out the people that are poor when everyone else in those categories that were struggling got their help, but the poor people have to stay poor? No. We would know that the opposite of being poor would be that there's deliverance or prosperity for that poor, but look how it comes through. To preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. The poor's remedy is not another social program. Now, I'm not saying I'm against those things. I think they get abused and things, and I believe that there's purposes for them, but that's not the solution. The solution is not free handouts to the poor. Is it good to be generous and give charity? Absolutely. I do it, but I've had God tell me, do not sow into certain people's lives, just sow the word. The word, why? Because the remedy for the poor person is the gospel. It's the gospel. And you hear about these missionaries that go to these places and they start sharing the word in the most poverty-stricken places, and all of a sudden, the roots and the blades of grass of prosperity start to spring up. Why? Because the gospel is the remedy to your financial problems. He said in Joshua 1 and verse 8, if the word will be your companion, if it'll be close by, if it will be something that's important to you, a priority to you, you'll have good success. You'll have prosperity. Amen? Go with me to Psalms chapter 1 and verse 1. Oh, it feels better in here already. Psalms 1 and verse 1. I loved it this morning. Caleb came in as I was getting ready in the bathroom, and he had this little pocket Bible that they gave him at church. And he's like, I'm reading the Word of God, Dad. Just flipping through it. And he says, and I said, yep, the best book there ever was. And he goes, yep. They're silly books, and they're fun, but they're not as good as the Word of God. And we're going to instill the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, the Bible, and just brainwash them to the Word. Yes, I am brainwashing my children. Happy to say it. Praise God. Hallelujah. From the get-go. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. Now this is what I want you to see. That word blessed in the Hebrew, listen to what it means. Happy, fortunate, one that is envied. If somebody is envying you, it's because you got something good going on in your life. The Bible says that blessed, happy, fortunate, envy is the man, mankind, women included of course, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And I can never read that without mentioning something about that. Why are you going to your unsaved family and friends for advice? Why? Why are you going to Christians who are full of nothing but doubt? It's sad that Christians can walk in the counsel of the ungodly and can give counsel like they're ungodly. Why do we still do that? Faith cometh by hearing. Don't you want to hear faith? Don't you want to hear the right words? Praise God. And why am I blessed? Well, the Bible says, blessed are you will be if you don't walk in that counsel. Talking to unsaved people about what should I do here? See, you forget that the Christian has the advantage. We got the all-knowing one on the inside of us. The Holy Ghost. We don't have to go to the world for advice. We have the Holy Ghost on the inside of us. We're looking outward and we should be looking inward for our help. Yeah. But his nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. And in his law, like Pastor Mike does with food, he meditates or feeds himself day and night. Kind of goes along with Joshua, doesn't it? Where Joshua said, if the word would become a part of your life day and night like food is, you'll have prosperity and good success. Well, now the Bible says you'll be blessed. Happy, fortunate to be envied. If the word Smith Wigglesworth. Now, this is extreme, I know, but he had extreme results.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
1800s to early 1900s. I mean, I heard a testimony confirmed of him raising somebody from the dead. The craziest stuff that have been confirmed and documented. Power in that man's ministry. He said, we're not even allowing the newspaper in our home. The only reading material we will have in our home is the Word of God. Now, that's not exactly, sports hunting magazine, but I'm just saying, I'm just trying to tell you that I'm not holier than thou. I'm not where Smith Wigglesworth is. But what I'm trying to point out doesn't mean you throw away all your books and your magazines, but what I am pointing out is he had an awareness of how powerful that Word of God was. So much so that he set the standard in his house that not even the newspapers allowed in here, we will only be reading the Bible. So it's everything you need. And he was right. See, that's extreme. Well, he had extreme results though too. So praise God. Just pointing it out. I'm not going home and throwing away my bow hunting magazines. But I'm not also going to feed on them for hours and hours a day either. There's balance, praise God. So anyways, he says his delights in the law, Lord his law, does meditate day and night. Okay, so Moses sees it worth it. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Look at what the Word of God, the meditation in the Word. I don't know if you've noticed, but my voice has gotten stronger as I've preached the Word, and it's not a surprise. Why? Because the Word, there's health to all your flesh. Amen. We should go back and do worship again, because I don't even know if I even said right. All I heard was gargling and crackling. But the Lord loved it, I'm sure. Praise God. He's supernatural, so he can supernaturally tune me out. Praise the Lord. He says that they'll prosper and their leaf shall not wither, being around the Word of God. I can't remember what minister said it. It was either Lester Sumrall or Brother Hagin was quoting this, that we feed our bodies 3 hot meals a day and we give our spirits 1 cold snack a week, maybe 2 on a Wednesday if we come. And Sundays and Wednesdays are more like meal times because you're getting fed the Word for a good time. But even 2 balanced meals throughout the week would not be okay for your body. Your body would need more to be strong, to be healthy, and things like that. Yet we as Christians, now let's just be truthful here. Attendance dramatically drops off in services around the country in a midweek service. It does. And so most of the time, the big get-together is a Sunday. So if people aren't coming to midweek, and there's varieties of reasons, sometimes people just can't with work, I get that. But let's face it, there are times people just don't make the effort, that it's just not important enough. And I'm going to share something in a second that will help you with this. And so if people aren't at least even coming to hear the Word, which we know there's a supernatural effect of doing that. Jesus said this. He said, I have compassion on the sheep because they are sheep without a shepherd. Jesus said to Peter, do you love me, Peter? 3 times he said that to him. All 3 times Peter, and the last time he got frustrated, said, I do, Lord. And Jesus said, the way you can demonstrate that you love me is by feeding my sheep. The number one thing that God is interested in is his sheep being fed by a shepherd.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say your lives are scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, and bewildered. He said because the only reason is because you're sheep without a shepherd. He pointed that out. And people say, no, I'm good. I got the Bible. And I got Jesus. Well, Jesus was on the scene. And he said that it wasn't good enough for people to just have him.
Amen.
He was there in Matthew 9 and said, I have compassion and pity for the sheep. He said, it's not enough that I'm just here. You need a shepherd to continually feed you.
Amen.
Now, notice I didn't say you needed Mike Anderson as your shepherd. I didn't say you needed to go to family church, but you do need a shepherd.
Amen.
You do need a church.
That's right.
A Bible-teaching church with a pastor that's going to feed you from the front page to the back page.
Amen.
You do need that.
Yeah.
doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be this place or the name Family Church. But you do need that. There's no debating it, people. You need a shepherd to feed you. So there's a supernatural element of being fed by a shepherd, but then there's the personal time with the Lord and further meditating and studying in the Word and building ourselves up. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke 10 and verse 38. See, we're very good at justifying things in our mind that fit our lifestyle, that fit our circumstances. We're good at doing that. Why? You know why we do it? Because we're convicted as all get out. That's why we do it. If you're not convicted and you don't have a problem with what you're doing, you don't say anything about it. Yeah.
That's good. Come on.
The people that come to me, and tell me their plans, and just want to run this by you, Pastor, not looking for advice or what your spirit's saying. The people that just have already made their minds up, they come to me about something they're unsure of, and I sit there and I smile and think to myself, if you're so sure of yourself, you wouldn't be bringing it up to me.
That's good.
There's things I don't have to talk to my pastor about. I know.
Yeah.
I don't have to, every single decision I make, but I'll tell you, those situations where they're big and I'm unsure, I will go to him. But I won't go to him with my mind's made up, praise God, because then I can't get help from him. But my point is, we bring these things up and we say things because we're convicted. Because we don't know, we're unsure about it. Because you wouldn't be talking to me about it if you weren't, praise God. But we justify things, this is what I want to bring up in accordance with what we're saying here. Now it came to pass as they went in verse 38, Luke 10:38, as he entered into a certain village, a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. Mary heard the word. Right? Okay, so go to verse 40. But Martha, praise God. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come and help me. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered. And so what basically is going on here is Martha's having a get together. There's a lot to do. And her sister has the audacity to not help and actually sit at Jesus' feet to hear the word. It's not even in her own house. She's sitting there watching her sister run around like a chicken with her head cut off to get things done. And she has the audacity to sit there and hear the word. And she goes to Jesus with it. Lord, aren't you going to say anything to her? Lord, doesn't she know that there's stuff to do? So she was busy. Oh, that's a dirty word. It is. Busy has become an excuse in our mind that we have justified that makes it okay for us to miss our feedings and to not be around the Word of God, and we have so placed it there that we just hang our hats on it and we have no problem just saying, I'm really busy. I'm really busy. Now, do what you will with this. I just have to preach the Word. I'm trying to help people. But we have gotten to this point where we think it's okay that busyness has trumped the hearing of the Word of God. Well, let's see if it is. Verse 42. Or verse 41. Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. See, our busyness that we have justified in our mind, we have justified, we need to be this busy. We need to continue the lifestyle that we're on. We have to. There's no other option. And Jesus said, there's only one thing that's needful.
That's right. Amen.
And Mary has chosen it, the good part. Well, what she chose? To hear the word. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of busyness, Mary knew the importance of hearing the word.
Amen.
Why? Again, reverting back to Joshua 1:8, reverting back to Matthew 4:4, reverting back to Psalms 1 and verse 1 through 3. Because the word does something for you. God loves you, people, regardless if you ever hear the word. So stop in your minds getting it to a place of, he doesn't love me enough and I'm not good enough. Whether or not you ever spend any time with him in his word, he already loves you. As much as he's ever going to love you. But spending time around his word is what's going to change your life.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Mary, you chose the good part. Martha, you didn't. Whew. Busyness is not an option. If busyness pushes the word out of our life, there's a problem. And you might say, well, you just don't understand. No, I'm here to tell you, you can't survive. Now, you can live if you want to. If you want to live broke, down, sick, depressed, in trouble mentally, trouble physically, trouble financially, God will let you do that. But if you say, I don't want that life, then busyness can't be an option.
Yeah,
the word has to be there, the center of your life. What would you rather me say to you? Take it or leave the word. Can you imagine if that joke came out of my mouth, how shocked you would be?
Yeah.
You're so used to me just keeping that fire underneath your rear end and turning the heat up, just pushing you farther into the things of God.
Right. Yeah.
Because obviously for there to be utterance and unction on this, it's because people are missing it in this area.
Yeah. That's right.
Which means that I got to keep saying it and saying it until the word becomes priority.
Amen.
Food is a priority.
Yeah.
Let's just not eat till next week and see how we're all doing next week. It's dumb to think that way. But we do it with the word, don't we? Smigglesworth. Sounds like a Lord of the Rings character. Smigglesworth. Although that is Smith and Wigglesworth combined. So it's just quicker to say Smigglesworth. Sorry. When he would eat, people would say about him, he'd push back off the table after he got done eating. Reach into his pocket. He'd pull out like Caleb had, his little pocket testament. He'd say, we just got done feeding the natural body. It's time to feed the spirit man. And he'd open up and he'd start reading passages on faith, passages on healing. What was he doing? Strengthening himself. Lining himself up for prosperity. Lining himself up for good success.
Amen.
Amen is right. Glory to God. We're almost done. Proverbs 4 and verse 20. This will be the last place we go. Hallelujah. He's faithful.
Amen.
He's not there with the heavenly baseball bat saying, read my Bible. That's not the point.
Right.
We're talking about making this the word a lifestyle, like his presence is a lifestyle. Why? Because what? When we are aware of his presence, we live a more faith-filled, honorable, holy, fearless, joyful, and loving life.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Proverbs 4 and verse 20. Now again, Pastor Mike, why are you talking to me about being in church and always being around the Word? Because I just read you two verses that told you to do it day and night. And now the Bible says here, my son, daughters included, attend to my words. Got to have good attendance to the Word. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. You have to incline your ear to the Word.
That's right.
Verse 21. I guarantee that you get, some of you are thinking, yeah, we've heard him preach this before, but you're also saying to yourself, I better start doing this. I better start doing this. I don't know about you. I'm not wasting my time up here. I'm not just up here to do something. I'm here to get us somewhere.
Yeah.
The hearing of the word is only half of it. The doing of the word is the other half of it.
Amen.
Let them not depart from thine eyes. There it is. Let them not depart from thine eyes. That sounds like a consistent fellowship with the word. See, a faith giant recognizes you need the word to be a faith giant. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I don't know how many times I've been preaching, and someone come up to me after service and say, Pastor, I started the service with this in my body, and when the service got over, my body felt better. Praise God. I remember one time somebody wanted me to lay hands on them. I said, no. I just had the unction to say, no. Just sit in service and hear the word. It's health to all your flesh. Let me know how it is after. And they came up and said, it's better. Why? The word is a medicine. The word is a medicine. There was a lady that I dealt with before, doesn't go to this church, this was years back. She was so in bondage mentally. Her marriage was struggling. They were just kind of on different pages, and her husband was gone a lot, and when he was there, they just didn't get along. But when he was gone, she would sit in her garage and stare out the window and just look for him to come home, and just in torment and fear. Couldn't get her to do anything. And I don't know if it was the husband that had reached out to somebody in the church and then found out about what the wife was doing. I mean, she wouldn't go to the store. She wouldn't do anything. Gripped with fear. Fear is tormenting. Fear is so tormenting. And she'd just sit there in her garage. Sometimes the husband would work 10-hour shifts. She'd sit there until he got home, just sitting there in bondage, tormented. Well, we heard about this, and by an act of God, she got into church. Someone that found out about it helped her get there, and it was just like a miracle to even have her walk through the door. Well, when she left, we found out about the situation. We sent her with stacks of preaching CDs, some mine, some Pastor Tim, some Pastor Michael, whatever we had at the church, we loaded this lady up with them. And we said to her, we said, now, we know what you're going through. We know you sit there every day in your garage, not making fun of her or pointing out her problem, just trying to help her and say, we know what you do, but this is what we want you to do. Can you put a CD player in there? If you don't have one, we'll give you one. And what we want you to do is just put these CDs on. And when you're sitting there, I mean, this went on for years that she was like this. When you're sitting there, just have the word playing. You don't have to do anything different. You don't have to get up. You don't have to go anywhere. Just have the CD player nearby. When one ends, just put another. Do you think you could at least do that? And she said, I think I could do that. So she started to do it. And weeks went by. And what was happening? She was hearing the word of God 8 to 10 hours a day, nonstop. The word of God is quick and powerful.
Amen.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Hallelujah.
She got supernaturally delivered, hooked up in church, became faithful in church. Her marriage got restored. Her husband, who the main thing he had against the church was, I can't stand the tithing message, got saved, got born again, came to church with her, and now is a faithful tither.
Praise the Lord.
All started with the word of God. Remember the Durants? They went back to Rhema, ran into that lady that was retiring. Said, hi, how you doing? It's good to see you. Oh, you're retiring? That's great. And she said, and Rhema's the Bible school I went to in Oklahoma. They have wasted their insurance policy on me. Kevin and Annie Durant, ministers that come through the family churches, said, why? She said, in 40 years, I've never been sick. I've never went to the doctor. Now, that's not a testimony most people, I can't say that I have that testimony. Do you? No. 40 years. And Brother Kevin and Sister Annie were just as shocked as you were. When they said, what do you attribute that to? She said, Brother Kevin, Sister Annie, said, I work in the tape department. I work in the book department. All day long, Monday through Friday, I'm just hearing the Bible. All day long, I'm going through Brother Hagin's books and going through the Word. She said, then I go home and I listen to the Word at home. And then I have church, and I'm in church on the weekends, then I come back, and it's just nonstop. She was so saturated with the word that it kept her body. That's not a coincidence, 40 years. That's not, oh, she just hit the health jackpot. No, the word is health to all your flesh. Well, abundant life is healing. We don't have to be sick. We don't have to be poor. We don't have to be tormented in our minds. Abundant life is the will and plan of God, but there are steps that we must take to get there, and you'll never get there apart from this being a steady diet in your life. It can't be just, well, Sunday morning, everything else in my life just stays on the shelf, I'll come back next Sunday. Praise God for when you do come, but you need more. You need more, you do, praise God. So let's start making the Word a more faithful companion. Or you won't be a faith giant. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the word this morning. We're blessed to be here. No condemnation. There never is. Devil, if you're trying to tell people, oh, you're bad and this and that, well, we're just not going to listen to you. Hallelujah. You're a liar and a fool. But, Lord, we will heed this advice from the Word of God. And, Lord, even as I preach it and hear it with my own ears, Father, there's adjustments I need to make. The pastor's human as everyone else. And Father, there's adjustments that I need to make. And I repent for those areas, Father, where busyness. Father, the work of the ministry cannot, and right now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, but what I'm doing right now, ladies and gentlemen, is I'm repenting and airing out my stuff in front of all of you for a purpose. To let you know that I'm human, to let you know that I miss it, but that I have a sweet fellowship with my Father. And I just come to Him. So Lord, I'm sorry that the busyness of the ministry at times has trumped Word, spending time with You in the Word and in prayer. Father, I'll make that adjustment. I ask you to forgive me. Father, thank you for your help this morning. See, that's all you do if the word was preached and you could say, my God, he was talking about me today. You just say, Father, I'm sorry. I repent and I'll change. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. And Father, it's not because we're trying to get on your good side. We're already on your good side. We were on your good side when the Bible called us ungodly enemies and sinners. You already sent Jesus for us when we were in our worst condition. It's not about being on your good side. It's about taking what you've provided for us, implementing it into our lives so we can walk into that abundant life, that Word of God life that causes us to live. We bless you. We love you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, ask yourself, if today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If your answer isn't, yes, I know I'd go to heaven, you can know, because the Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. If you're listening by live stream and you want to receive Jesus, if you want to receive eternal life, you want to receive fellowship into this family of God, where all this abundant life becomes possible, the Bible says it's simple. You qualify for this if you believe in Jesus. And if you believe in Jesus, that means you believe he died and rose again. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anyone here that could say, I don't know if I'm born again. I want to make sure that I'm born again. Nobody's looking around. Would you just lift your hand in the air? Hallelujah. I see those hands. You can put them down. Praise God. Anybody on live stream, you want to get in on this? Now, if you raised your hand, let me just say this to you right now. Listen up. When you pray this prayer, you'll never have to do it again. If you believe in Jesus and you believe he died and rose again, that when you say the words that I ask you to repeat, never again will you have to raise your hand. Never again will you have to ask God to save you. You might have to ask him to forgive you, but that's different than asking you to him to save you. So those people that raised their hand, and if anybody by live stream, go ahead and repeat these words after me with all your heart. We'll pray it as a congregation so you're not saying it by yourself. Everybody say this. Say, Dear God,
I believe
that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins.
I believe
that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead.
Thank you
for saving me. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Now, before you run out of here, don't forget Wednesday night. It's going to be a life-changing, monumental step in a lot of people's walk with God. And don't forget, next Sunday, 10 o'clock, be here, right? Get your feeding. You are dismissed.